Hello everyone, I'm Sophia Wilson. Instead of a big boat interview this week, we're bringing you one of the panel discussions from the Superyacht Design Festival. Hosted on the first day of the festival, this panel, entitled The Space Puzzle, looked at the evolution of the Superyacht GA. With a new wave of younger owners and the after effects of the global pandemic shifting the way many people use superyachts, and with it, the demands for space on board, the panel examined whether the current standard format for the GA is still fit for purpose. It was an all-star Italian lineup, including Nuvali Leonard's Valentina Zania, the Ferretti Group's Stefano De Vivo, San Lorenzo's Ferruccio Rossi, and Benetti's Sebastiano Vida. Covering yachts from 24 to 150 metres, their breadth of experience between them meant they had a huge variety of ideas of the changes they're already putting into place and what the future might look like. I hope you enjoyed the discussion.
Thank you so much for all joining me today. We haven't got a lot of time and it's a big topic to cover. So Valentina, I'm afraid I'm going to pick on you first. Congratulations on Arpo. She's a remarkable yacht. How did she push the boundaries in terms of how space was used on board?
Well, Arpo is certainly a good example of how we have seen in the past years the general arrangement changing, mainly for a few factors that we obviously see how interior spaces are merging with exterior spaces, which obviously influences the interior design as well as the exterior design. And the time the owner tend to spend on board is longer now, so the spaces are flexible, becoming with more uses, more functionality, and then of course the owner apartments are getting bigger and bigger. Apo is actually one of the projects that shows that we have an apartment that is double level and incorporate the private offices of the owners. So these are, I would say, the things that are definitely changing in the layouts. In this project is big, of course, but we see this also in smaller projects.
Yeah, and talking of smaller projects, the Wally Y200, that master suite, kind of changed the game at that end of the spectrum. What was the thought process behind that?
So we're going from 110 meters to 27 meters. But the process was actually very similar, not maybe 110 meters, but trying to pack in a yacht that has a load line length or a construction length less than 24 meters, also seeing the new regulations, try to give it all the spaces and volumes that you have on a 50 meter. So the idea started with, let's try to build a boat that is completely different. We were looking at in our range as Ferretti Group and as Wally, we didn't have an Explorer. As you know, Wally over time has always been 20 years ahead. So always trying to think where is going to be the next step. So Luca Bassani and the design team at Wally and the technical department, we were looking at what can we do in the bow, and we started saying people want to look forwards, and why can you not use the best part of a boat, which is the extreme bow? And we started from there. We started saying, okay, if it's an Explorer, it has to be a tall bow, so it's okay with the design, and we stuck the master cabin there, and this just gave a fantastic approach for the space of the owner, where you don't have anybody in front of you, you don't have anybody on the sides. And also when you're in harbor, you're not looking at the people on the sides on the other boats, you're actually looking out in the middle of the harbor. Then you couple this with the wide body, which was the next step, and you get a salon on the main salon on a 27 meter yacht that is as wide as one on a 50 meter yacht. So it's a 7.5 meter wide salon. So again, giving different spaces in a much smaller place, which means also, in a way, a little bit sustainability, as in a lot of clients are saying, we don't want to have as much crew, we don't want to have as much hassle. So you're trying to find ways of giving the same kind of experience of a much larger yacht in a smaller envelope.
And Ferruccio, the SP110, in a very different way, also tried to challenge the norm. What was your kind of process behind that?
Yeah, that's correct. The SP110 is going in the same direction to try to find a new space. Obviously, everything started to be closer to the sea. It's a trend our clients are asking more and more. And so everything is around the cockpit. And also the way we develop the space on board is something new. And so we have different levels. We have a mezzanine. We have a social area where people can meet. But at the same time, you can have guests. to have a totally independent life on the lower deck, and then from there to have direct access to the beach club without interfering with maybe some other guests or other people that are enjoying on the main deck. And that is a concept that we like a lot and the client appreciate. So we are developing also for new products, particularly a 50 meter that we will introduce in Monaco in 1 year time.
And Sebastiano, at Benetti, a lot of the models are trying to move the guests up to the main deck to kind of give them that experience. What's the thinking behind that?
Yeah, the idea behind that is we don't want to have guests sitting on the basement. We don't want to have different level of guests on board. So the idea was, why don't we spread and allow the guests sitting in their cabin to have an amazing view outside, to be able to enjoy the place where they are. We have the opportunity, and we are building a yacht which has to stay in an amazing environment, which is the sea. So why don't offer this enjoyment, this view to our guest who is staying on board of the yacht?
And we've touched on this already, but obviously the size of the yacht makes a big difference. Is the challenge bigger in a smaller yacht where you're trying to accomplish a lot in a smaller space, or does it actually get harder when you have a bigger yacht and the client expectations are even higher? What's been your experience, Valentina?
Well, obviously the challenge gets bigger when you want to pack a lot of things in a smaller envelope. And this is what we are actually seeing now. The owners that approach about between 60, 70, or even 50, 70 meters, they tend to ask you things that they ideally are fitting in a bigger boat. So I have no doubts about that. But the layout, the things you can do with the layout nowadays are definitely something different, and the approach is completely different. So even these beach clubs and spaces like this getting bigger and being flexible, or you can work on that, you can make people happy even in a smaller boat. I believe the challenge is definitely bigger in smaller boats.
Would you agree with that in your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time you have a client, the client starts, whether it's a 20 meter or a 90 meter, they want always double on what they can fit inside. And sometimes you manage to get a boat to become 110 meters, but sometimes they just want to keep on pushing. And I think with our designs, we're all trying to push to bring the owners and their guests into nicer areas, a bit like we've done with Rio this year that you've seen, where you have the master cabin looking forward. It's a 62 meter. In the past, this was something that you could find only on 70 plus. And so it's coming down. We're going to do this with a custom line 50 meters. It's a 50 meter yacht under 500 GT. But again, we've made it sure that the owner has its master cabin on the upper deck, but still a flush kind of approach of deck. So you don't have too many steps, because we don't want steps like on bigger boats. So I think it's very important to understand that as shipyards, I think all of us have seen some amazing designs. Everybody's trying to bring the clients up and out, well, outside inside, which is very important. So it's never big enough, which is also lucky, because it means we can always sell a bigger one.
And Ferruccio, last year, San Lorenzo released some data which showed that the new average age of your client, correct me if I'm wrong, was just 38. So it clearly is this new generation that's coming into yachting. What are some of the different demands that you're seeing them bring with them?
Yeah, it is definitely. And even for super yacht is 48, which is very, very low numbers. And everything started 3 years ago, those days, because the entire world population was out of the sudden locked in our houses. And that is a moment of change, the moment that will remain in the history books. And two main words will stand out of that, which is sustainability, which was the object of the previous panel, and of course freedom. People, they want freedom, and the technology allow now to have time to be spent more with in the place you want, with the people you want, to be still connected, and that is impacting significantly the way the yacht is seen, not anymore as a holiday vehicle, but a platform to spend longer times. So the use of space is different. Of course, more space is required, but at the same time, people are not anymore thinking about something that is disconnected from the world online. is exactly part of that. And that means new people are coming, younger people, people that are in business, very active. They want to have space for their kids. They want to have space for business. And the formal areas are not so important. It's more about practicality, enjoyment, and really to have the ability next time something like that will happen to have mentally the idea of escaping out of that.
So do you think this is the end of the formal dining room?
Absolutely.
And you touched on it there, that obviously children, quite often with the younger generation, that becomes a bigger factor between life on board and potentially also multi-generations. Sebastiano, is that something that you're seeing at Benetti, extra requests for specific spaces for children or for different generations to all be on board together?
Yes, definitely children and family, but don't to forget that people want to have fun on board, so first thing. So they want to be more and more relaxed, less formal, and have a different or more close to their way of living at home while they are staying on board. So they want to have everything easily accessible, smart, sustainable, and also flexibility, I would say, is another word which is coming along a lot, in order to be able to change and convert a space from day use to a night use, just with a little of reconfiguration by the crew, who can convert a beach club into a nice dining area or a place where you can have an aperitif, or like we did in our Oasis deck, where you can convert the pool area at night can be a nice place where you can have dinner in under the stars. So it's flexibility and fun, I think, is the key word.
And Stefano, Rio, which you mentioned a moment ago, she was commissioned deliberately with family living on board. Is that right? What were some of the modifications behind that?
Yes. I think one of the main modifications was that you could see the boat has a lot of bedrooms. So the boat was born for a family, but also for charter. So you got the master cabin plus three, another two cabins that could be a master cabin. But the other main point was that it had to have a lot of rooms for the kids, that had to be flexible to so that you could put nannies, kids, and so on. And then after that, every single thing that was on board was thought for the kids and the friends of the kids of the family. So you go from starfish shaped poofs in the beach area, all the way to little toys. In this is the upper deck. You have octopuses and little fish and Nemos going around. So I think this is part of what we were saying before, and this trend of younger clients, but especially newer clients. Over in Ferretti Group, I can tell you that last year, over 50% of the contracts signed were to clients that had never had a boat before. So we tend to be upper end of the market. So it's quite incredible to see how this has really shifted. If you looked at this number in the early 2000s, it probably was under 10%. And I think it's technology that is allowing this, because with stabilizing systems, and we have one of the sponsors that makes stabilizing systems here, this has really changed the game. And then COVID and the fact that we got used to be able to work also from far further away, and that we've understood the freedom, how important freedom is, we've really changed the approach. So being able to have kids on board, Cloud9 was launched a few years ago, was meant for charter and family, and the gym was actually a nursery. So you could put behind the walls all of the instruments for being in the gym, and this became a nursery with a blackboard and so on for the kids, because they were spending 4 or 5 months on board. So this is becoming ever more important, I think.
Valentina, we've spoken about owners spending more time on board, which is obviously lovely for them, but potentially puts more pressure on the crew. You know, they're in service for longer periods of time. How important is it, therefore, that crew are allocated enough space when you're looking at the GA and thinking about the design?
Well, the crew is actually the people that keep the boat going. So we have always had a sharp eye for making the spaces for the crew comfortable, but in my case also nice to be in. So decoration of the crew areas with CRN, we just deliver.
I must say Valentina is one of those that pushes really hard on trying to make beautiful also the crew area.
Yeah, because what's the point of having people that are sleeping in small spaces and not having place to just stay together, have food together, and actually recharge the batteries, like a gym, a crew gym or something like this. So yeah, I believe it's something that we all need to pay attention more in the future.
Ferruccio, is this something that San Lorenzo are working on as well in terms of developing crew spaces?
Definitely. Historically, functionality was the keyword for sure. More and more now is also enjoyment because, as we said, much more time, more challenges, and therefore they needed to have time also to relax a little bit, to train, and that will for sure improve the overall relationship and at the end of the day also the experience of the owner as well.
And is this also happening at Benetti?
Yeah, as we said already, thanks to the movement to relocation of the guest area into the main deck, we ended up with a full lower deck dedicated to the crew. But it's funny to know that the owner's feeling and feedback on this is mandatory. On the last three negotiations we had, we just owners complaining, oh, we should take off the crew gym and maybe they can use it for something else. They don't need really the gym, or who knows. So really, I think we can propose, suggest, offer the industry a lot of solutions, but then we have also to understand what the owner wants.
Yeah, it's a constant balancing act. And Stefano, the word that's come up a lot of time is multifunctional spaces. How are CRN, for example, in particular, trying to develop those and making sure that every space can have multiple uses on board?
I think we have Nuvolari and Leonard here on the stage with us. Atlante was a precursor of all of this, launched in 2015. This was the first yacht that was using, the owner wanted to stay at anchor for long periods, and we had some very big tenders, custom tenders, but he didn't want to lose the tender space. So once the tenders are launched, this becomes a beach area, a cinema. It opens up completely, so it can also be your dancing area. It can be your terrace on the sea. So I think this was a precursor, and we've been pushing this even more. We've seen it on Cloud 9. We've seen it on Rio this year. But we've also seen it on Comfortably Numb, the 60-meter we just delivered, again, made with Nuvolari and Leonard, where the owners also, if they wanted a fast boat, big engines, were really looking at how they could use, because they had less space, and because now you have SCRs, so you need to give up some more space for lowering your emissions, looking at possibilities of using cabins in different ways, from massage rooms that become guest cabins all the way to owners' cabins that can be connected to exterior spaces to feel like they're bigger.
And how important is that interior, exterior, that kind of blurring of the lines? How much is that becoming a factor, you know, when you're looking at a GA or planning a new build?
Well, definitely, without any doubt, is coming more and more a request and it must be, I would say. At the extent that we are trying to push the boundaries of our waste deck up to the whole main deck, or at least half of the main deck, trying to open up all the main deck saloons, trying to spread everything to enjoyment of the sea and the open air, converting the formal old main saloon into a alfresco veranda, getting rid of the dining and moving the dining very close to the pool or on the above decks, just to relocate the space, the functions, to give more unexpected workflows and way of enjoying the space on board.
Valentina, probably one of the areas where it's clearest to see this kind of indoor-outdoor living tends to be the beach club, and you've been responsible for quite a few incredible ones. Why do you think it's such an important area, and how do you think it can serve your whole experience of being on board?
This is clearly linked to the time the owner wants to spend on board, and the spa and the wellness area changed a lot in the past projects, I would say, because they were usually put in like dark areas or lower deck, you know, like in the hotels. Normally they are very dark spaces and private spaces. Now we are going the other way around. We are opening the spaces, and Apo is an example of that, because it's no secret the spa of Apo is one of the biggest, even if not the bigger one. And it's a multifunctional space, because you don't have just the wet area. The wet area is separated, and you have a space where the owner can actually reach the boat, approach the living room, small living room, where you have a fully equipped bar. So this is the way to make spaces convertible and to open the interiors into exteriors area.
And Frutje, how important do you think that beach club area is to the whole feel of a yacht?
As I said before, to be close to the sea is more and more important to have something that is equipped also for water sports, to put your kids and your guests closer to the sea, to experience the life on the sea is something that is central if you really want to enjoy a yachting experience. In that regard, starting from our 52, but also the bigger boats and the 44 Alloy, the beach club has always put was central in developing our project. And also the multifunction. So the ability to launch the tender and then to enjoy the beach club as an area that is a luxury. And in this trend has been instrumental, the collaboration, of course, with the design studios of the yachting world, but also to have some challenge from studios that are coming from home furniture, such as Studio Lissoni or Patricia Urchiola, where they really push hard us to go beyond and to reinvent some space and to be able to be to always think in two dimension at least, or even three.
So you mentioned that this new, 50% of your contracts last year were first-time yacht owners. Do they come with new ideas about how they want to use space on board, or in a way are they more traditional with what they've seen or perhaps chartered before?
No, I think they're very different. And this is where we're seeing the shift, which most of the designers here can tell you started around the beginning of the 2000s, where we were designing super formal yachts, whatever the size, especially when you were going over 30 meters and you had to have a main salon that had to be the formal salon, where you felt like you had to go in with your suit and tie. And then the upper deck salon had to have a different kind of wood and it was more for the family. And all of this has changed because I think we've lost a lot of the conservative clients, which used to be, I think, the sailing boat or the powerboat guys that started and ladies that started at 30 feet and then moved on 40, 50, 60, 70. And they were much more technical, much more conservative from every kind of angle. Today, we're getting people that are coming along, and when you sometimes you have to explain them that you do need the engine room, otherwise it doesn't move forwards, right? And that propellers under the water are there to push you forward. So the point is that you get pushed every day. And I think this morning Stuart was saying that the number of semi-custom yachts is also over 40 meters is increasing ever more. I think it's making our jobs even harder because you need to understand what's going to be the next trend. Mm. And apart from being multifunctional, you need to also think what's going to be the challenge from clients, designers from outside the yachting world and so on, which is actually good fun. And we're seeing many different angles and many different approaches. There's not one right way, especially when you're at sea.
So pinning you on the spot, Sebastiano, what is the next trend? We've talked about what we've seen already. What's going to happen next? And how big is that change going to be over the next decade or potentially two decades?
Well, I would like to have the battle and the ball and see the future. But I can tell that from our point of view, we are aiming to propose something new, like we did on the Oasis. With the Oasis deck, we are thinking about why not a pool deck or a beach club. Thanks to the size of some yachts, we can develop a proper beach club, which doesn't look like a basement, but a place where you can stay and literally have everything flush with the shell doors open and the swim platform all in the same line. Or like we did in Oro, we relocated the wheel house one deck above, so in a very unexpected location, and we have created this amazing open and closed sun deck, which can give an outstanding feature on board. I would really love to see this in reality, how it looks, how it feels, and I think it would be amazing.
Frutje, where do you think it's going next?
There is a lot of direction right now, for sure. The impact of the new propulsion system, the new fuel will have an impact on the overall space, and because that will be more and more central, as was discussed before, and at the same time, more open space, more space that are mixed as open and enclosable, that where you can really enjoy the outside space, and as said, space that can be more and more convertible, space where I can work, where I can have a business discussion, and then maybe a few hours later, I mean, I will have my kids playing. That is so something that is much more in line with what happened on land. But of course, with all the peculiarities of a yacht.
Stefano, you, same prediction, or have you got going in other directions?
If I tell you, then I have to kill you. No, I think that all of these things together definitely are the way forward. I think the propulsion will be a huge impact. Also, solar panels, where if we get really 60% efficiency, then they start becoming interesting and important. But the problem is that they need proper surfaces where to put. So I think in the very short future, what you'll see more and more is for sure better usage of the outdoor space and the more noble parts of areas of a boat, and especially this transition inside outside has to be more and more seamless. Then we need to all work on insulation, because this morning finally someone said that insulation is much more important than actually working on your propulsion. And I believe this a lot, because we're building glass palaces nowadays, and we're forgetting that all of this means heat exchange. So we'll see.
Valentina, what are you expecting to see? And what are you really excited about seeing? What would you like to be able to do with some of those interior spaces?
I would like to be more sustainable somehow also with this is a complex discussion for interiors, of course, because there are too many things that we use when we do interior projects. So I believe what designers can do in the near future, apart from improvements on the GA, and this was extendedly discussed today, but I believe we should take them by hands and kind of teach the customers that materials that we used a few years ago, now we have seen many improvements on new stuff we can use, beautiful one. And I think this is my next challenge, to try to be a little bit more green in the approach for the interiors.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've got a little bit of time in case there's any questions from the audience now.
Thank you very much to a very strong Italian panel. Ferruccio, two things. You really broke my heart for someone who sells plates, amongst other things. When you said the dining room's gone, I sort of winced a little bit. But I hope people continue to dine on these yachts. We've focused very much on one yacht at a time, but obviously I've seen a bit of a rise in people using support vessels. Multi-use, of course, moving lots of things off and their toys. And do you guys see that trend as well for some of the smaller vessels, having a support vessel to go alongside it?
Yeah.
Definitely. Our clients, more and more, they like a chase boat. They really use the yacht as a kind of palace, and then they go around with the chase boat that are bigger and bigger and faster and faster. And that is already at the 40, 45, 50 meter. And then, of course, if you go much bigger, then there is also the boat that is for the toys. That is not exactly our dimension.
But this is also an answer, a logic answer, due to the limitation we are facing to store batteries on board for toys. Always is getting worse and worse, more difficult and more difficult. So the easiest option for the customer is just to have a nice chase boat where they can just carry all the toys and everything and have more space for to be used in a different way on a main vessel.
Oh, I can only add that I think that the chase boat approach is correct. And I think that was the first step in the last 10 years. And now it's become nearly something that nearly every boat over 40 meters has. So I think you'll see more and more support vessels, but also smaller, like 20, 25 meters, because of all of these things you want to put on board. And because anyway, your chase boat has at least one extra person of crew. So if you want to have a support vessel of 20, 25 meters, you can have two people or three people as crew to bring it around. And all of a sudden, you haven't really increased that much your operational costs. So and the fun increases. You said earlier you want to have a lot of fun. So I think you're going to see this increasing a lot more.
There any other questions from the audience?
Thanks for the great panel, Valentina. I would like to lean on your last statement. It's kind of a metric, by the way. I would really appreciate and engage everyone here who's doing interior design just to lean on your last statement, sustainability of materials we use on superyards. Because the good news is we sell more, they're getting bigger and bigger, but the materials we use nowadays and we source for interior design and veneers, and I'm absolutely delighted about spraying panels like we have heard in the morning. We need to be very careful using Mother Earth materials, and we need to find ways to use sustainable materials in the superyard industry, because the quality level we are looking at of boats built in the past, I would guess the quality level will go down on materials, natural materials, because we just sourced Mother Earth far too out to get macassar, ebony, sycamore. You count through it, because this is something which we use dramatically, and we need to find other ways to get your designs done with different materials. And so I appreciate your last comment. I'm happy to hear from you what your design studio will bring up with sustainable materials for the future. Thank you.
Thanks, but I still believe we have a little bit of a long way to go there. We obviously are very conscious of that, but it's still very challenging. Because, as you said, the quality we work with is such a level that every time you try to steer the wheel somewhere else with the clients, just to teach them to appreciate some other things rather than chagrin or these kind of things that, of course, they have a big impact in the nature. You have to convince them that the quality, it's still the same, can be the same, but not in all the materials we use, this is there already. We will be working on that, and hopefully we will be supported by our suppliers.
Did you have something to add?
Yeah, the good news is that the new generation is actually asking for sustainable material, for a sustainable approach in all the aspects, either external, either for the interior. We are just debating a lot with our customers. Do you really want to still to have a real teak deck? This is a good question, not a good point. Or do you really need to have a sycamore veneer, or can we use an engineered wood, more sustainable, that came from FSC growing forest? Or do you really need to have real marble, or can we use a regenerated, re-engineered marble or natural stone, whatever you want to call it? So I think the role here is just to offer the opportunity to show the customer the options they have and let the material speak for themselves, and maybe let the owner pick up these options.
Wonderful. More questions?
Just to add another thing. I'm really on it. I think we are also looking a lot on carpets, to change the carpets made of silk and be in different material, which does not affect or are affected by water stains, are more easy to be maintained, to be cleaned. So once again, it's just a matter of showing the advantages and let the customer be happy with the selection.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for all joining me today and sharing your insight. And it'll be exciting to see what happens over the next few years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen. And don't forget to like and subscribe. And we'll see you soon.